Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
There's always a conversation with players and coaches and managers, and that's not why that all happened. Everybody talks at the end of the season, and it just turned out to be the way that it did. It's just a matter of, we talked about fit and just different discussions at the end of the year, but I'm so pleased that he got the job that he did, and he and I stay in contact, and wish him well, because I'm certain that the Met hitters are going to love him.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Joe Maddon talking about Chili Davis, and the report yesterday out of New York is that the two hitters in particular, that Chili apparently didn't read Joe's book, Managing the Millennials, he did not get along with some of the hitters. Two guys in particular got him fired, is effectively what the report
not
is.
Not just two guys.
Well, two guys in particular.
The two guys.
Yes, what did we call them? The baseball selling tandem of Rizzo, right? Is that what the company name is? Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant apparently ganged up on Chili. And Joe
Rizzo
denies that.
Hiring and firing practices, it seems like.
They're going to have to change the commercial now.
The report was, several sources said that the Cubs, quote, caved to the requests of Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant.
Theo
especially.
Was, in particular, wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, and I think, it certainly is something Joe Maddon strongly denied, but I don't think anybody was terribly shocked at the idea or the notion that Chili Davis, who talked about it on his way out, I think he told Gordon Whitmeyer about his trouble connecting with certain players and millennials and all that stuff. The difference is, Molly, I think that we don't think of Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant in these terms, and I don't think we've ever seen them in this sort of context of being guys who are demanding to get their way and forcing something to happen, the implied or else. And, you don't think of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, the guys we know from the Brizzo commercials and the pleasant guys, as being, players that we've seen pro players demand things before. But these guys don't fit that profile. And yet, it's not hard to believe. It's not hard to believe because of what happened. Chili Davis was here 1 year, gone. Gone. And I'm curious if that changes anybody's opinion of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. Probably not. Does it change your thought process on what these guys they've been pretty controversy free, right, throughout the entire career, and this is maybe their first sort of kind of venture into that territory.
The last two seasons have been failures for the Cubs, not because they don't win games, not because they don't have star power, but because they haven't made the impact in the postseason. And I think that when we watch the Cubs sort of overcome Joe's managing, that's to be brutally honest about it, and go ahead and finally end the 108-year curse and win a World Series, I think the feeling was that it happened earlier than expected. They had arrived, again, at least a year earlier, and they were going to win a few of them now. They were going to start putting together some runs. That's impossible to do in baseball, apparently. It's a very difficult thing to do. But we've seen the results shift and change. And, Chris Bryant had a bad year last year. He was hurt. Anthony Rizzo ended up having a good season, but started really slow. And I think that when you start thinking about those guys as players and their careers, it's hard to change. It's hard if you've been doing something one way to switch around. It's hard to change philosophy. It's hard to have arguments about launch angle, whether it's good for everyone, good for some, good for none. I think these things come into play, and it's not. It wouldn't surprise me if that were true. Even if we don't look at those guys in that fashion, I just think that players, while part of a group, it is about individual achievement. To quote the line from a movie, you got to get up there at the plate and you got to do your thing. And sometimes, if you're told that your thing's done wrong and you got to try it this way, you're going to resist that.
Everything you said is valid. It just makes it seem more. This reinforces the idea that Chili Davis was a scapegoat for 2018.
They had scapegoats each of the last 2 years.
I don't know that that's all, you know, and that seems a little bit flimsy to me. I mean, you can't blame a hitting coach for everything. And the Cubs now have changed it 2 years in a row. And I think that good luck, you know, because moving forward, Anthony Iaposi is a guy that you hear a lot of good things about. Ian Happ worked with him. He talked on the station this week. He's got a good, relationship with a lot of the younger guys.
We're back to launch angle.
But so which is it? It where does the responsibility fall for a hitter's success? I mean, if you would believe the validity of this report, is that it sounds like the players are blaming the hitting coach.
Well, it sounds also like he didn't connect with them. And that happens. You know, people that connect.
I don't look at it like football, though. I don't look at it like
I'm not looking at it like football. I'm talking about generally in life. If you connect with someone, then you have a better rapport with them than if you don't. If you've met people in your life, David, as have I, that are just the kind of guy, you know, you end up working with the kind of guy that you'd never have even given the time of day to if you didn't happen to work together. And I don't know why you feel that way about me, but you know,
what are you saying here?
No, yeah. I'm saying like I think,
yeah, I know.
I think, you know, there has been a couple people that have come through here where, like, lovely people, good people, you know, nothing wrong with them. Just not necessarily your cup of tea, just not the kind of guy that you could really relate to at some level. And when that happens, it's you know, you're never going to break through that. So you need to, and part of his job, Chili, is to connect to these guys. And he should lament that he wasn't able to connect with them, because part of it is, you know, being able to relate with them and have them on your side.
Whose fault is that? I mean, this is the guy that Theo Epstein respects and yes. Joe Maddon likes, and a guy that, well, by most accounts, has been very successful throughout his career.
But you can't just hit ground balls, and you can't, you know what I mean? I mean, it's unfortunate. He's getting another job, and that's why this is a story. But it's really unfortunate that it didn't work. That's it. It didn't work, and they didn't go along with it, and they didn't connect. And it's, you know, there has to be a certain, you have to, as a coach, have a certain control, a certain gravitas. You have to have a belief this guy's going to help us. And you know, Chili, unfortunately, maybe he's going to turn into one of these guys. He was with the Red Sox. He left. The Red Sox won the World Series. He went to the Cubs. He left. If the Cubs win a World Series and everyone's hitting, doesn't that mean that the experience of having Chili is maybe just a path to something better?
Well, I think, yeah, you have a lot of people wanting to hire him next year. Chris Bryant, I think, now is put himself in a position to, you know, you expect him to have a bounce back year. You expect, if he's healthy, for him to resemble the hitter that he was previous to 2018.
You worry me with that prepositional phrase, if he's healthy.
Well, I think that's a question until you see him, you know, regain his health. I mean, that's an injury.
Is that not another reason to go after Manny Machado?
Well, if that's a possibility, if that's something, yeah. I mean, why
wouldn't it be a possibility at 175 for anybody? If that's accurate, if those numbers are correct.
Well, I think that it depends on, look, you're talking about a team that got rid of Drew Smyly and his $7 million so it could afford the Cole Hamels option.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of reasons to probably hesitate if you're the Cubs and you're looking at this budget that we keep hearing about, why you would stay away from a $200 million investment, because it's probably going to be around $200 million. I mean, 175, 200 million, what's the difference really when you spread it over?
One year?
If you spread it over 7 years. I just think that, yeah, Manny Machado would fit in the Cubs lineup. You would fit with concerns over Chris Bryant's health moving forward. You can always find
Addison Russell.
A fit. Well, Addison Russell's, to me, even if you have a healthy Addison Russell, and not healthy, if you have a trouble-free Addison Russell and you support him and bring him back, you would still be interested in Manny Machado.
Well, no doubt, but I'm saying that isn't it still a question with Addison Russell? I mean, you know,
I hope so. I hope so. It doesn't sound like it, but I hope so.
I had a friend that I talked to one time when a guy that I worked with ran afoul of some issues, and I said, wow, that is really a difficult situation. You know, they had a domestic, and the wife called the police, and I said, you know, think about the poor woman in this relationship who has to call the police on this guy, and now – like the money that he was bringing in is in question. He could lose his, you know, it's a real trick box for the women in this thing. And his response was, well, what makes you think that happened one time? If someone behaves that way, isn't it more likely than not that they would behave that way often? And I'm not saying that I have any understanding about Addison Russell, his personality, the help he's getting, any of that stuff. But he's one incident away from being off the team, right? I mean, you're giving a guy a second chance. That is scary in a way.
It sounds like he's back. It sounds like they have they've made that decision already, the way that they have spoken about supporting him and everything. But you're exactly right. I mean, to count on anything regarding Addison Russell and his future, I think would be, you know, a dangerous proposition, something I wouldn't advise. So, yeah, he would be an asterisk next to his name. Does that mean they're going to go after Manny Machado now that they know how low the price is? Don't you think they already knew that? Don't you think they already knew how...
Did you know that? I mean, David.
No, but there's a big difference between what we know and what Theo Epstein will know.
Here's what we know. We know the guy was looking for $300 million, and we know that he's about $125 million less than that. You could go get yourself a Yu Darvish for the difference. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're going to bring in Sam Paniatovic, our man in Vegas, and we'll talk about these upcoming games and how to play them. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Sam Paniatovic.
Baby, you are so money.
Host at the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
They're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! Chicago guy living the dream in Vegas.
You think we get there by midnight? Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah! Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Merck.
Your money, you know what else? You're a big winner.
Sam Paniatovic.
This is the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I've got my car and my ride and my wheels.
When I go to Vegas.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, Sam Paniatovic, Visa Network, living the dream. Sam, good morning.
Morning, Sam.
Gentlemen, good morning. I know it's football season, but I sat down last night. I watched an entire Bulls game for like the third time all season. Woof.
You picked the wrong one.
God. You know, we're not really going to get much into that.
Yeah, the Bulls were destroyed. Just another. Here's the Zach LaVine quote. We're getting blown out every game. People are licking their chops, looking at us on the schedule, marking this game off. It's not like it's going to stop. We have to do something.
He used the word demoralizing to Sam, and I think when you look, the Bulls are 0 for 2019. The Blackhawks have lost 6 in a row. Which United Center tenant is more disappointing?
Well, I think the expectations were higher for the Blackhawks, honestly. You know, their win total in Vegas was 38.5. They're not going to get there. They're 16-24-9 through about 49 games. So they've been more disappointing, just given the fact that they came into the season with a coach that had won cups and a core that had won a lot of cups too. So I think that team has been more disappointing. But guys, it's just painful to watch this Bulls team. Their win total in Vegas opened at 27, actually closed at 30.5. So people were betting the Bulls over, thinking, oh, maybe they'll be better this year. 10-35. They're now 10,000-1. To win the championship, which means if you were going to put $100 on the Bulls right now and they actually won the title, you'd win $1 million. Like, that's how big of a long shot the Bulls are to win. I think the Blackhawks are more disappointing, but the Bulls are more painful to watch.
God, there's no shadow of a doubt about that. Let's get into the championship games. I mean, this should be a really fun weekend, and I think one of the things that we love about it is this sort of, you know, the age issue, if you will. Are they baby boomer quarterbacks? I don't know how old these guys are. The Generation Xers against the millennials, if you will.
Well, only one millennial, right? Patrick Mahomes, because you got Brees and, well, I guess Goff.
Goff was the youngest player in the league when he came out, yep.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, both spreads are 3 right now. Saints are laying 3 at home. Chiefs are laying 3. We'll start with the NFC. That line opened at 3, got to 3.5, then to 3, then to 3.5. So it's going back and forth both ways. You can make a case for both sides. I just think the Saints guys, honestly, I'm more impressed with the way they finished last week. People talked about, oh, well, they went down 14-0. Yeah, and then they completely shut it down, right? They won 20-14. Like, I was very impressed with the way they played in the second, the third, and the fourth quarter. And this is still a top 3 run defense against the Los Angeles team that wants to run the football. So it's a situation where you have a really good team in their own barn. The dome is tough to play in. And you look at the last 10 conference title games in the NFL, the home team is 10-0. So the home team is taking care of business. Last 10 Super Bowls have been filled with number one seeds, 12 number ones. Number ones usually take care of business in this round. I like the Saints in the NFC game. I just think we're destined for Drew Brees to make it to the Super Bowl and maybe win the Super Bowl. I really like the Saints in the first game. And I'll tell you what, we talk about this all the time in Vegas. What is the line and what should the line be? We have this Chief-Patriot line at 3 right now. But a lot of really smart people, guys, they think this line could be 6 or 7. They think the Chiefs are that much better at home in their building at Arrowhead. But you can't make the number 6 or 7 because nobody would lay 6 or 7 with the Chiefs. You have to make it 3 to sort of garner that 50-50 action. But the Patriots are old, they're slow, and yeah, they have Brady and Belichick, but this is a total mismatch in speed. I mean, the Patriots, I don't know if they're ready for the speed the Chiefs can bring. It's going to be a tough test for New England to win on the road, bro. Remember, they're 3-5 away from Foxborough this season.
So, Sam, if people want to stay away from your picks or maybe they don't have much confidence in these games, what are some of the fun prop bets?
Oh, you got everything. We'll have more next week when we have the Super Bowl props. Well, you've got passing yards for Jared Goff, 289.5. How about rushing yards for Todd Gurley, 71.5. Completions, Drew Brees, 25.5. Michael Thomas went off last weekend for the Saints. They have a receiving yards prop for Thomas, 92.5. Touchdown passes for Brady, 2. Mahomes touchdown passes, 2.5. You've got passing yards for Mahomes, 308. And then there's the exotic props, like will Tyreek Hill score a touchdown? Yes, -110, no, -110. I think that Tyreek Hill prop, I think that's a great bet to just take the yes. I think it's a pretty solid situation where he's going to have a situation inside the red zone to catch a pass, take a handoff, and get into the end zone. So that's probably my favorite prop this weekend, Tyreek Hill to score a touchdown. I'm not betting against the guy, that's for sure.
What you know, we always look through the lens of the Bears. What they're the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl next year. Does Vegas like the coaching change?
Apparently they do. I mean, they like Chuck Pagano, but I think it's a bet for Vegas on the defense because the defense is not really going anywhere. I mean, they're not going to lose much of anything on that side of the ball. Yeah, they opened these up about 4 days ago. Not this Super Bowl, next Super Bowl. And the Rams are the favorite. They're 6-1. Chiefs 7-1. Then the Saints, then the Patriots, and then the Beloved. I mean, guys, we're looking at Chicago now, 12-1 to win the Super Bowl next season. So for all you thinking, well, I don't know if they're going to be back and maybe Trubisky's going to regress, Vegas says that they're the fifth best team going in the season. They're ahead of the Chargers, ahead of the Steelers, Vikings, Packers, Eagles, Cowboys. Bears have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl next year. That's a sign of comfort. If you're feeling a little salty and still a little sad about Cody Parkey and all that jazz, they have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl next year. That's wild.
How about the over-under on the win total, Sam? A year ago at this time, it was 6.5. That's not going to be the case this year.
Well, you know what's going up, and David, you and I texted about this yesterday. I thought 8.5 would be a good place to start. I mean, these don't come out until, you know, March or April of this year, so we're a little bit away. But I texted one bookmaker and said, hey, what about 8.5? And he said, no way, higher. He thinks it's going to open at 9. So looking at expectations for Chicago, yeah, win total this year opened 6.5, got bet up to 7.5, but Vegas bookmakers are already thinking for next season, they're going to have to open this total at 9 wins for next season's Bears team. And it's a pretty telling number. When you open up 6.5 a year before, and you're already starting about having the conversation at 9, I mean, that tells a story. These numbers tell a story. And to think that this Bears team, no matter what, you know, is a 9-7 team at least, those are pretty high expectations given where we've been the last handful of years.
Yeah. But don't they have to be at least 9 wins? I mean, I would even say 10. They won 12 games, and they're going to presumably be better in year two of that offense.
Schedule's
harder, yeah. I guess. Okay.
Now you're playing a first-place schedule, no doubt about it. And I would imagine, I mean, I'm being a realist here. I think the Packers will be better next year. Rodgers likely healthy. I mean, he got banged up week one last year. And the Vikings, they have the most talent in the division, but they just fell apart. I think the Packers and the Vikings are both better, not to mention the Bears play a tougher schedule. But, yeah, I mean, Mully, you're right. You're probably going to start at 9. And the way this team has been bet, it's probably going to go up to 9.5. I mean, I wouldn't even rule out people betting it up to 10. So you're looking at a team in Chicago. There's a lot of expectation, but now you've got the bullseye on your chest, and it's a different ballgame when that's the case. And the other team we're looking at here, Cleveland Browns. Their win total last year opened 5.5. I talked to bookmakers. I thought 8. I thought 8 was a good number. Hey, let's open Cleveland at 8. They said, no, we're probably going to open Cleveland 8.5. So Chicago and Cleveland certainly are the biggest movers in the market as far as where they were last year and where they are right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. See ya.
Jody,
you got to start at least 9.5, at least.
With the Bears, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
They get over money every single year from Bears fans across the country.
Yes. And with 12 wins, 9.5 doesn't seem like a big ask.
Yeah. Okay. You're betting. Can you get to double digits again?
That's it. That's the question.
And I think that's a fair number.
I agree.
Lately, these rookie head coaches, LaFleur, we don't know what he is, but there has been that bump that first year. We don't know if it ends up working out long term, but we've seen that first year bump from a lot of different guys.
All right. We're going to bring in Ron Coomer next. We'll talk about the Cubs convention and the secret plan to poach Manny Machado.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, and what? Come warm yourself by the hot stove. It is a delight to bring in our guy, Ron Coomer. Coombs Dog, we miss you, buddy.
Morning, Ron.
Morning, guys. How we doing?
It is a delight.
Happy New Year.
Yes, thank you, pal.
Yeah.
Right back at you. And don't you have a feeling it's going to be a good year? Don't you feel pretty positive about things? That's why the start of the baseball season, the impending spring training weeks away now, although we could probably call it a month. It's just wonderful. It's a great time of year.
It is. It really is. And I've been listening all week. I've been in town for, since I think last Saturday. And, you know, with all that's been going on, I do. I really do. I think there's a lot of guys that are probably have a little chip on their shoulder from last year. I think there's some guys that came to the Cubs last year that things didn't work out all that well and want to prove that they can play and play at a real high level. So I really think there's going to be a little different look to the Chicago Cubs this year. I really do.
You know, Ron, one of those guys might be Joe Maddon. You know, we talked about, you talk about chip on your shoulder. We had a question of 5 of 5, whether or not Joe feels or will feel a little disrespected going into this season because you look around and new pitching coach, new hitting coach, no new contract, and the words and the praise of Joe has been somewhat qualified. If you had to guess on what Joe Maddon's mindset is, knowing him as you do, heading into this spring training or heading into this weekend, heading into this season, what would it be?
Well, it's a good question, David. I would say, I don't know if disrespected, because he knows the game, and I do believe him and Theo have a very good relationship, just from being around both of them so much, but both of them together. But I would bet he's probably going into this year a little disappointed that he didn't have an extension, but With that being said, he knows the business, and he's probably ready to go, okay, 95 games, 95 wins wasn't enough. We do need to get back deep into the playoffs and maybe to the World Series. So I'm sure Joe is going to be a little bit different this year. And, you know, it's obvious he said it a bunch of times that he's going to be a lot more involved in the coaching aspect of our team this year. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, Joe's a really confident guy, and rightfully so, because of what his track record is. So I anticipate a good year and an upbeat year once again from Joe.
Who do you think will make the biggest jump here from one year to the next? I mean, we saw before the season began, we talked about various candidates for an MVP award, and it ends up that Baez ends up being the guy that is second in voting for MVP and had a real breakthrough season for him. You know, Wilson Contreras was a little bit of a disappointment last year, considering how people were talking about him before the year began. Is there anybody in particular that jumps out at you as someone that's really going to have a bounce back?
I hope. I don't know this guy like I know the other guys on our team, but I hope, Mikey, that it's Darvish.
Yes.
I really do. If it's Darvish, you're talking about a Cubs team that could be dominant all year. You know, and the rotation could be extremely, just really good. I think the guy you just brought up, too, I think Contreras. I would bet Willie is a little embarrassed in the way things went the second half of the year. You know, you have such a great first half, and then you have, you know, the exact opposite in the second half. You know, you make the All-Star team, and then, you know, things just don't, you know, he just didn't make any adjustments. And I really believe he was tired in the second half of the season. I think mentally, physically, he started, you know, snapping a lot more in the dugout and, you know, breaking the bats and all that. And, you know, when you're staying that frustrated for a long period of time and you can't let things go, it takes a lot of your mental energy, and I think that's what happened to him.
You know, Ron, yesterday Joe Maddon had to kind of dismiss and discard a report out of New York that suggested that, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryan objected to Chili Davis and wanted him out, and that was one of the reasons that led to his departure. You know, whatever led to his departure, there's a new hitting coach, Anthony Iaposi, in town, and it's going back to, sounds like, the launch angle emphasis and some things that, you know, it's not a fad, as Theo Epstein, I think, said. What are your thoughts on what the Cubs' approach to hitting is? Yeah, I know that's something you watch very closely every single day, and what this change might mean for guys like Rizzo, like Bryant, like anyone else.
Oh, I don't know about Anthony and KB, to be honest with you. I don't about them having, you know, a major impact on Chili being gone. I'll say this about Chili. I've known him a really long time, and he's an excellent hitting coach. And he was going into the season looking at deficiencies that the Cubs offense had. And that was not being able to put the ball in play against quality pitching and not being able to situational hit when you needed it. And what you were looking at from the season before was playoffs. When the Cubs faced dominant pitching, they were punching out all the time. And that was the problem. So that's what he addressed. I did hear that maybe the message wasn't exactly the same, and the guys were pretty used to John Maley. So Chili played in the game a long time and had a lot of success. So the one thing I will say now, this launch angle thing, I think it's way overblown. I really do. I'm just not a fan of everybody talking about this. I just don't think that's what hitting is. For Chris Bryant, hit the ball in the air because he got a great chance of it landing in the seats. For a guy last year like Tommy La Stella, do you want to hit the ball in the air all the time? I don't think so. So I think when you talk about this, you gotta actually put this on certain hitters, right? I mean, some guys need to hit the ball in the air. Other guys, maybe not. But now with all of this that's gone on, now it's I love the comment that Theo made, that it's all about production now. All the young guys, it's about production and it's about winning. And you know, no matter who's the coach, you know, it's accountability time, and that's what, that's the bottom line to the Cubs offense. Everybody's going to be accountable this year to the production side, not just being a prospect.
Are you surprised at all that Harper and Machado are not signed, that the free agent market that we were all looking forward to? I think a year ago at the convention, Tom was asked why there wasn't a lot of signings in free agency at that point, and he said that people might be wanting to kind of hold their powder waiting for next year. Well, hasn't happened yet. It's getting late in free agency. I mean, not as late as last year, but it's still, these are two really good players.
Yeah, especially Harper. I'm shocked that somebody hasn't just said, you know what, we're going to throw all our chips in and let's just make the big offer and, you know, and let's go at it. But, you know, the other thing too, you gotta think about Harper last year, you know, for two thirds of the year, was he hitting 230?
Mm.
You know, so, and then Machado's playoffs weren't exactly, you know, something that you want to write home about, you know, kicking guys at first base and not hustling and comments. And, you know, there's been a lot of free agents, you know, not a lot, but there's been some in the last 5, 6, 7 years that you signed to these big deals and it hasn't worked out. So, and there's been injury. So, I can understand where teams, you know, to do that $300 million deal are a little reluctant.
Ryan, how do you view the division in the context of the Cardinals improving, the Brewers improving? Look at the Reds, what they've done, and how inactive the Cubs have been. Has it changed your opinion on who the favorites are heading into spring training?
No, I think the Cubs are the favorite. I think when you look at the rotation, very good. I still believe Theo's got probably at least a couple moves left before we start throwing baseballs in Arizona. And I believe that's going to be in the bullpen. They still got some shoring up to do down there. But the rotation's good. I really think some of these young hitters, I'm not looking at, KB's going to have a good year. He's going to be healthy. I think mentally he's been extremely successful his whole life. And last year he went through some disappointing times and failure for the first time. He's going to have a big year. I really believe it. But it's the Ian Happs and Schwarbs and some of these guys, you know, the young guys, Contreras, that I do believe will also have some big years. So I think the Cubs are the favorite. But, boy, the Cardinals look good now. That first baseman the Cardinals signed, that's a good player, man.
Yeah.
And they're going to be right there with in the division now where the last couple of years they just weren't.
All righty. Thanks so much, Ron. Great catching
Enjoy
up with
the
you.
Weekend,
Enjoy
Ron.
The weekend. Yeah.
We will see you at the convention, right, boys? Are you guys going to be down there?
Oh, we'll definitely be stopping by.
All right.
All right,
Sounds
buddy.
Good.
See you,
Great.
Ron.
See you, Ron.
That is our guy, Ron Coomer. Always a joy to talk to him. And we're going to take a moment. We've got a lot planned for you. We got a lot of people left. We're going to talk to the new Cubs hitting coach in a little bit. We've got Fergie Jenkins stopping by. There's a lot going on for
Tommy
us.
Tommy Hotovy, the new pitching coach, is going to be here. Yep.
We got Joe Forenbaum. Yeah. We'll talk some Bulls. We got a lot planned for you, and it should be a lot of fun. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.